بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. We coming towards the last portion of Surah Ali Imran, and this was those verses of this particular surah which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite on a daily basis at the time of Tahajjud. And it is a type of message in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the great signs that He has created in this world and beyond this world. We should be a reminder to human beings of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Firstly, you should remember that everything belongs to Allah. To Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Unlike the rulers of this dunya who possess temporary ownership of certain things or temporary control of certain things, in the case of leadership or being a president of any country, the term is stipulated and fixed. And that also, you do not own everything unless somebody thinks they own everything, like in some places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the entire world, with all that is valuable within it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is that equal to the wing of a mosquito? That's the entire world. So if you divide it up, and a person is the president of a country, then perhaps the value of his country in proportion to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards to be valuable is not even equal to that percentage of the wing of a mosquito. And can we imagine a person who is haughty and arrogant and proud, and he might be the CEO or the director of a company, and he's sitting in that company. What is the proportion of the size of that company in comparison to the country, in comparison to the whole world, which is not equal to the wing of a mosquito? So there's absolutely, from one verse we understand the insignificance of the status that we have attached to the things of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything belongs to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power and qudra over everything. Then the verses continue. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and also in the alternating and the changing of the night and day, لَآيَاتٍ, most certainly there are great signs, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for people of intellect, for those who apply their minds. The ahkam and the teachings of sharia, the message of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is addressed to people of intellect, people of understanding, people who apply their minds. Because as a human being, this is something which is a distinct feature which makes us different to the rest of the creation. Yes, animals also have perception, and they have a limited amount of understanding with regards to certain things. If you throw a stone at a dog, the dog also has this much of, as we would say, intellect, that it doesn't run after the stone. It knows that the stone has no intention in causing harm to the dog. And the person who threw the stone is the one who is guilty of perpetrating some form of aggression. So it runs after the person, not after the stone. So yes, animals also have a limited amount of understanding, and a limited amount of aql through which they can identify certain things, beneficial and harmful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a great amount and a perfect amount of understanding in the life of a human being, through which he could understand and distinguish between beneficial and harmful, through which he could ponder and even reach a stage where he needs to acknowledge and understand that there must be a creator to the system which we are seeing in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The alternating and the changing from night to day, from day to night, most certainly there are signs for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given understanding and minds. Who are these people? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. They are the ones that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing, while sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, while lying down, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the form of dhikr which we say, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, this, yes, this is the great form of dhikr which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged and which we, alhamdulillah, are familiar with. But making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also means to be obedient to Allah. كُلُّ مُطِيعٍ ذَاكِرٌ. That person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in that state of being obedient, he's actually remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he stays away from haram, he ensures that he does his job honestly the way he has signed on his contract with the employer. And by him doing that, then earning his job now becomes a form of dhikr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's being obedient to Allah, he's being diligent and honest in his work for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his work also becomes a type of dhikr. He goes to sleep and he ensures that he has fulfilled the responsibility of providing for his wife and children and his and those who depend on him. And he performs his Isha Salah and he goes to sleep reciting the Sunnah Dua in the state of wudu. Then that person, while he is sleeping, is in a state of dhikr. His ruh is no longer only restricted to the constraints of this dunya, but he is now in the environment of the malaika. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the wise ones, that they look at the creation of Allah, they ponder over its perfection and marvel over how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. And this is why it's so strange that a person can be so highly qualified in a particular field, yet he doesn't come to the conclusion that Allah must have created it. He's a scientist and he sees all beautiful things. He's perhaps studied the entire anatomy of a human being. He knows exactly how everything functions. Yet he thinks it happens by accident. This is why the ulama say hidayah and guidance is what Allah puts in the heart of a person. So you cannot place guidance in the heart of a human being for him to acknowledge. Yes, you can present intellectual proofs through which he can apply his mind and perhaps it would appeal to him. But the actual guiding of that individual and hidayah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And these people, what do they say? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh Allah, you have not created this in vain. It has not been created for no purpose. There is a purpose for creating these things. سُبْحَانَكَ. Oh Allah, you are pure from any blemish, any weakness. Subhanaka, when you say Subhanallah, the actual meaning of Subhanallah is, in English they give a very incomplete meaning of it. They say, glory be to Allah. That is absolutely insignificant to the actual meaning of the word. Subhana means that I express with my heart and my tongue that there is absolutely no fault in Allah, there is no blemish, there is no weakness, there is nothing of blame attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any weakness which I do see is actually found in me. There is nothing of weakness attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why when we address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in the Quran we are taught that words of respect have to be maintained. This is the teachings of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the 19th juz of some of his dua and some of his discussion with his father and some of the conditions of his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of how his nation spoke to him and then he invited them and explained to them who is Allah. So he says, Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who has created me and he guides me. Walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the being who gives me water to drink. He gives me food and he nourishes me with food and sustenance. ويسقين, and he gives me to drink. And then he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Yeah, the word changes. When I become sick, Allah gives me shifa. Now in reality, sickness and health is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person doesn't create a sickness. Creation means bringing something into existence from non-existence. So, the creation of sickness is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But out of respect and maintaining the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't attribute the creation of sickness to Allah. This is the adab and the respect that the ulama say is learned from the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, but when we attributing something which in itself is a bit, in the eyes of a human being, a condition of weakness and difficulty, then we do not attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ, when I become sick. Now, how did you become sick? Yes, Allah created the sickness, but He didn't attribute it to Allah out of respect. This is why we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is the creator of each and everything, from the arsh to the malaika to the things we can see and the cells within our bodies. Yet when we make dua, we don't make dua unto Allah and say, oh creator of the khinzir and the swine. Although Allah is the creator of the khinzir and every animal and everything which is in existence is the creation of Allah. But this is adab and respect, that you do not address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a word, although that is the creation of Allah. But out of respect, we maintain our respect and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of subhanaka. Oh Allah, you are pure from any type of blemish and any type of defect. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, protect us from the punishment of the fire. And this is now the dua of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has titled Ulul Albab, people of intellect, people whose minds are functioning. They are not just pods and like vessels, empty vessels that don't have any function, any purpose in life. This is the zamana and the age of the pod, you know. A pod is like a vessel, the iPod. So it's the iPod, iPad. So a person is walking and he doesn't realize that somebody is being mugged next to him. There's an accident happening there. Somebody is holding his wife's hand or his wife's bag. He doesn't know, because he's an empty vessel and he's got these things in his ears which is being filled with all the distractions and the things which make a person ghafil of the purpose of his life. Children are also in that state. Everybody's in a state of eye madness. Everybody's got the eye disease. I'm not against the iPhone, but it's... They say AIDS is the epidemic which is affecting humanity. AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. But we can use that acronym also and say acquired iman deficiency syndrome. So we've all got this deficiency. So everybody, they say, what's that? Masjid al-Aqsa is under occupation. Astaghfirullah, let's make kunut in Jumu'ah. Tell the imam, must make dua. And after that, no dua at home. Didn't tell the children to recite Surah Yasin. We didn't give a little bit of extra sadaqah, put in the masjid box and say, through the sadaqah, wallah, this is my contribution. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, he didn't perform Hajj in his quest to ensure that Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated from the Crusaders. He wouldn't smile to people. He would just be very serious and they would say, they're making a joke and you're not smiling. He said, I feel shy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me on the day of Qiyamah, you had time to laugh in Masjid al-Aqsa is in the hands of the kuffar. Whereas we say the dunya has become small today. Today the dunya has become small. We've got the information that they didn't have that much of information and access to what is called muwasalat, the connection with the World Wide Web. Yet their hearts were linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the dua of the people of intellect. A person who has got some aqal. Aqal in Arabic is the word used to describe the intellect of a human being. And that is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts within him. In Arabic, the word aqal, it comes from the word aqala, which means to fasten something. You know, in Saudi, the Bedouins, they wear that black thing on their heads. It looks like a folded fan belt. In Arabic, it's called iqal. In Saudi, they say igal. And our people say dikalchi. He came with a galchi. So they modified that word from one thing to something else. It's actually iqal. It's Arabic word iqal. Iqal means a string, which is a rope which is used to fasten the leg of a camel. So because they're Bedouins, rather than looking for a rope every time, they first keep this thing on their heads. And when they need to use it, they just fling it open and then fasten, put it on the leg of the camel. So the camel doesn't jump up. That's called iqal. So your intellect in Arabic is called aql. Because that aql is supposed to be the rope which stops you from doing anything which doesn't make sense. anything which is going to cause harm for you in future, that aql, that rope, is what is supposed to hold you back and protect you. But Imam al-Shafi'i, he said a beautiful poem. He said, some people, junoonu kama junoonu, he says their aql has been lost to such an extent that they become insane. And he said, no, their insanity has become insane. Imam Shafi'i says, people have lost their common sense and their minds to such an extent, he says, junoonu kama junoonu, that your insanity has become insane. وَلَا أَرَى طَبِيبًا يُعَالِجُ مِن جُنُونِ جُنُونِ. He said, I know of doctors that can treat a person who's insane, but if the insanity has become insane, I don't know of any doctor who can treat that person. So common sense is something which every human being has been blessed with, if you use it. You need to apply your mind and you understand, and it starts from the things of deen. Why have I been sent into this world? This is why some of the ulama say that a person, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send any prophet to this world, if Allah didn't send any prophet to present a risala and a message of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if there was no prophet sent, then the intellect of a human being is sufficient for him to at least understand that there must be a creator. The intellect of a human being is sufficient for him to understand that it's impossible for something to come into existence, but he needs to apply his mind. And because we are in an environment where we don't apply our minds, everything is just immediate and, you know, so nobody has got time to sit and apply his mind and think about certain things. And this is why the Arabs of the past, they were able to gain their course and direction looking at the stars. They had different names for different constellations because they had time. Today, nobody's got time. Everybody's got everything else besides time. You go to a person and you say, you know, we need Qur'ans for the masjid. We just built a new masjid, mashallah. So, or we just put new shelves up. We need some Qur'ans. Say, mashallah, now I'll donate, inshallah. Here, you take how much money you need. May Asfam sells a good print, and you take that and you put that in your masjid. But nobody's got time to read the Qur'an in the masjid. We need money for a masjid. We've got money to build a masjid. But to perform salah in them, nobody's got time. So the most valuable thing is time. So this aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a human being, ulul albab, is the thing with which a person, if he applies it, if he practices and he applies his mind, he will be able to come to the conclusion that there must be a being who brought this into existence, and he cannot resemble what he has created. He has to be different from what he has created. And this is why the fuqaha, the jurists say, a person, that individual, who is deaf, dumb, and blind, is not bound by the rules of Sharia. The rules of Sharia do not apply to him, especially the Shafi'i ulama have written this. Because there's no avenue through which you can communicate something or reach his intellect to explain to him. So if a person is blind and he can speak and he can hear, you could speak to the individual and say, this is what you have to perform, salah, wudu, etc. And if a person can see but is deaf and dumb, then you can use sign language. But if all these avenues are blocked, then he's not included in ulul albab. He's counted as a person who resembles that individual who is perhaps not insane as a mad person, but there's no avenue to reach his conscience, there's no avenue to reach his intellect through which you can explain to him what he needs to do. Although people have made progress in leaps and bounds, I think I mentioned previously, there's a colleague of one of my teachers, he's got a madrasa in outside Peter Maritzburg. If you go to Durban, there's a place called, I don't know, a madrasa to Noor, but the area has got a different name, before Peter Maritzburg. If I remember, I'll tell you the name. You can see it on the highway on the left-hand side. If you get a chance, just pop in there. If you're going for holiday also, it'll take your family and your children will learn a lesson there. If you see those students, they're from different countries. They choose students from different countries so that they can go back and set up institutes for the blind. I went once, we went for a program, and one of the students completed the Qira'at and the sciences of reciting Quran. So myself and my teacher, we went there. Then they told us they play cricket also. They said, what? blind students playing cricket. They said, yeah, we play cricket. And they had two students from Pakistan who had come there. And they were part of the national Pakistani cricket team of the blind. Sharia Allah. So he said, no, we're not going to leave it. You must show us how you play. So the next morning, after the program, we went. They said, okay, they've got certain rules. There are some who are visually impaired and they've got perhaps 20% vision. They can just see shapes. So the rule is that no two completely blind players can be next to one another, because obviously then they're going to collide and injure themselves. So you have one who's visually impaired partially and completely blind ones, they're like that. So he said, now how are you going to bowl? Now, even in this, imagine you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected the creation of this human being. They don't have eyes. They cannot see. So the wicket keeper, he claps. So the bowler listens, okay, where's the sound coming from? And then the ball that they use has got a bell inside. So he shakes the ball now to show the batsman. The batsman should know which way to face. And then he rolls the ball to the... but fast. And that batsman is listening now to how the ball is coming towards him. And he hits that ball at Pakistani. And so then the one who's partially blind, he hears where the ball is going and he goes... Now when he finds the ball... how does he know where to throw? So then he tells the wicketkeeper or the bowler to clap. Then they clap and he throws the ball in that direction. SubhanAllah, it's ajeeb. It's like just beautiful to see that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a ni'mah away from someone. And there's something else within them which is like more powerful than what we have. They meet a person, automatically they know the temperament of that person. If they meet a blind person, you can never fool a blind person. I was sitting with one of them, I said... we were talking about something, then they said, no, then that other sheikh is a bit, he's too hard, we'd rather sit here with you. Why? They said, no, because when we met him, they could sense his temperament or how he's coming across, the tone of his voice, the way he's making salam or the way he's shaking the hand. All these subtleties which we take for granted is something which Allah has enhanced in their ability. So I was speaking to the principal, he said, he traveled to some institutes where they have people that are mute also, they're deaf, dumb and blind. And so there's no way to communicate with them. So he said, but there's one institute abroad, somewhere in Europe, they tried to develop some type of avenue through which they could communicate even a little with these people. So they have them in an institute, they take care of them. So the first thing is, They teach them the days of the week. But how do you teach a person the days of the week if he can't see and he can't hear and he can't speak? You can't say Monday, you can't write Monday, and you can't even make a gesture of Monday. They don't know if it's day or night. So what they do is, every day of the week, they burn a different type of scent and fragrance. That formulates a day in the mind of that individual. So and they've got a menu for that smell. So automatically, when they get that smell in their minds, they would be able to identify and know, okay, this is in other words, their day might not be called Monday, but their day has a scent. So Allah has given them another quality through which they can identify certain things. So the Sheikh said, and they teach them this much, that they can develop a method of communicating. Now just look at this. Huh? Communicating by using their finger and writing on the hand of the person that they're communicating with. Like how you use a tablet. They can either use your back or the palm of the person they're talking to. So he says, I was sitting with one person and I wrote on his hand my name. And then he says, I intentionally made a mistake. I spelled it wrong and I said, oh, sorry, and I did this. And they were just happy and laughing that now this person is trying to communicate, but he can't speak our language properly. Or on the back, you write on the back. And through that senses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability. This is how powerful and how subtle Allah has created and perfected this human being. And he said, and they communicate amongst themselves also. no speaking. One puts his index finger and the middle finger on the bottom lip of the other, and the other one puts his fingers on the throat. And they make some sounds, and they're laughing, and they're taking fives, and they're communicating. So if this is the power that Allah has created in those individuals who don't have the faculties, can you imagine how much more Allah has blessed all of us, alhamdulillah. We've got eyes, we've got ears, our children have these abilities. And yet a person doesn't ponder of how Allah created us, what is the purpose of our life in this world. Then there truly is a shortage and a shortfall of intellect from our side. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after these verses, then mentions some of the du'as also made by these people who are wise, who have understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent them for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are known as the Rabbanas of Surah Ali Imran, the du'as of Rabbana, that starts with Rabbana. So a few more of these du'as we'll discuss next week inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be grateful and show gratitude and thanks to Allah for the bounties that He has given us, the abilities that He has given us. And those who have been tested with any difficulty with regards to their sight or their speech or their hearing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a better reward in the akhirah and reward them for their perseverance and sabr in the dunya inshaAllah.